SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three coming up on 10 minutes in. A little bit of everything today with a little Hong Kong and a little bit of Kentucky Downs and Keeneland Sale, and with the racing resuming tomorrow at Belmont. We had these two Friday, Saturday, Sunday race day couplets since Saratoga, and then racing gets back into 5 day a week starting on Wednesday at Belmont and leading up toward things like Jockey Club Gold Cup Day and more. Andy Serling of the New York Racing Association, good morning.
Quite a long introduction there, don't you think, Steve?
A little bit.
Seemed a little long.
Well, there's a lot.
You don't mind if I'm getting a scratch in the Kentucky Downs, do you?
No, not at all.
Look at this way. At least I'm not eating.
You know, the Kentucky Downs, and you've got to be happy with the way the schedule fell these first 2 weeks of the fall, because you, for years, I've told people, I've followed your lead on Kentucky Downs. You always enjoyed it and have always played it when you got the chance.
I wasn't enjoying it this year. I was losing every time I bet there, so I wasn't enjoying that. I won yesterday, though, so I'm enjoying it more. And that was good, because they moved that card from Sunday, and I wouldn't have been playing Sunday. So
exactly.
So it was very fortuitous.
Very much. And, you know, it's one of those places. I had conversations yesterday with Seth and Merrow and with Byron King. And, you know, especially with those maiden races, and there's plenty of occasion with horses moving from the dirt to the turf there, and it's such an unusual course anyway. It's a place where if you really do some work, pedigree work, etc., you know, you can be rewarded.
It's a little random there, to be honest with you.
Sometimes. Yeah.
I mean, it's a fun place, and I enjoy looking at it, and the racing is interesting. I mean, I think it's pretty tricky, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not sure. It's hard, you know. I mean, it's just tricky, you know. I mean, you look at some of these results, and they're not so. Didn't they have a $250 horse there yesterday?
I had the trainer on last hour.
Last hour.
Floyd Cobb.
Today, huh?
Floyd, yeah, it was fun. 73 years old. Guy worked for IBM for 40 years, but, you know, was training horses on the side for fun. And now he's got 5-6 horses, and he was surprised himself at how well she ran.
I'm sure a lot of people were. I was very happy not to be involved in that race. I got involved with some goofy horses, and I think the first race, big prices, that actually outran their odds. There was one who the dam was a half to Dynevor. It was 96-1. I bet. I lost.
But that's still worth, you know, that's still worth taking a shot. That horse ran okay.
That horse did not run badly at all. I agree.
No, Fluellen. Yeah. We talked about her.
Well, there was a 4-5 shot in the race. I'm not really sure why.
Oh, that busy, busy channel. That's right.
I don't understand why somebody was, that wasn't like a particularly compelling horse. Whatever.
It was a private purchase, and, you know, there was like a...
Are you surprised that Ken Ramsey would scratch his horse out of the Ramsey Farm Stake to run in a tougher spot up at Canada?
A little bit. He likes to present trophies to himself.
I mean, why wouldn't he like to get them, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing wrong with that. The Ramsey Farm Stake.
The Ramsey Farm, the last stake of the season. There's also the Franklin Simpson. There's three good maiden specials on the card. I'll give you a little pedigree horse in that second race. Dale Romans sends Pico Entry.
Yeah, she has some pedigree. Big deal. Mediocre post, right?
Yeah, not great. But the outside horses have been winning. That horse, being out of C.S. Royce, Sweeping Patty,
I know,
broke the maiden at Kentucky Downs.
Oh, well, the old red to like the grass. rather like the turf at Kentucky Downs angle?
I'm pulling out that old chestnut.
Actually a very funny pedigree horse in that race. Anyway, what's going on?
People were wondering. It took a couple of weeks, but the three-day week, I kind of like the way we're wading into the action, and after the intense Saratoga.
Why?
You like working 3 days a week after six and seven.
Well, that's not completely true. I mean, we drew Saturday yesterday, and they got them at 4, and I was finishing up the stuff at 11:30, so I wouldn't exactly call it a three-day week, but nice to sleep later. I went to Boston on Tuesday, so I spent a day up there, so it was a long day. But, yeah, no, it's yes. Well, I mean, judging by some of it, I mean, look at Sunday's card, the one that we got the rain out on Sunday. I mean, it only had 60 betting interests even if it hadn't rained. So everybody needs a little bit of a break. You know, you rush right back into Belmont 3 days after you're racing at Saratoga. A little hard, I think, on a lot of people.
Yeah,
and for some of us to get a few extra, couple extra days or a little extra time the next week works for me. I'm going away next weekend too. I won't be there. I won't be there on Pennsylvania Derby day.
Okay.
Survive without me. I won't be there next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You okay with that?
It's all right. I will be in Philadelphia, so
I will not.
And we should tell people too. Remind them. Last week there was the Saturday we had the Kentucky Downs.
We're doing a cross country pick four with Woodbine.
Yes,
one of the reasons I was up later last night handicapping those races. We're doing. It's going to be it starts out with the Woodbine Mile, and then it's an allowance race the 8th at Belmont, then it's the Canadian up at Woodbine, where flexibility looks pretty hard to beat, and then it's our 9th at Sands Point, which feels like it's wide open. I think actually the Woodbine Miles pretty open. But a lot of horses could win that race, to be honest with you.
Field of nine, including a couple of Euros.
Yeah, I think both Euros can win this race, to be honest. Oscar Performance, Delta Prince, even Good Samaritan has an outside chance. But I actually think Lord Glitters is very dangerous. Lord Glitters is the same trainer as David O'Meara, who trained that horse that won it 3 years ago, and then he won the Arlington Million. Who's the horse that won it 3 years ago? That European that won the Arlington Million.
Starts with an M. And I liked him. Mondial East? Mondial East, right?
Mondial East, exactly.
Yeah.
That's He's back with that horse. That horse is okay. I mean, it was second in the Queen Anne. I also think Stormy Atlantic, the other European's dangerous. Ed Walker's a funny trainer. He's actually shipped over like 3 horses to run on turf in the last 5 years, and all of them have overrun their odds. One of them ran third in the stake in the Boston Spa, actually, in Saratoga. The other two ran like second and third. One of them was like 60-1. One was big price. Well, big prices. They ran very well in their first races here. That horse is actually okay. Not impossible. Good race.
It's funny. There's a little bit of everything in here. And of course, the Woodbine Mile, unique for North America because it's a one turn turf mile, Andy. How does that impact?
We have one turn turf miles at Belmont, too, right?
Yeah, but we don't really. There's not. How many do we run?
One turn turf miles? The course of the Belmont meet? 50? I don't know.
Yeah, all right.
Wider miles at Belmont?
Yeah, but they don't. I know, but they don't stand out. I mean, they don't. I don't know.
I'm really confused.
They just don't stand. I mean,
stand out? You just said it's a unique. They run one turn miles. We run about 50 or 60 of them at Belmont during the course of a calendar year. I'm confused.
What do you think of they're not distinct to me. I mean, why do we not have it? Then
really
if that's the case,
you didn't know we run them.
No, I know we run them because we've run horses in them. But why do we not have a signature? Do we have a signature? What's the signature Belmont?
We run the poker. We run the poker. Apple. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the poker's good.
We used to run the Kelso, but everybody goes to the Shadwell Mile. So you know, we turned it into a dirt race.
Right.
It worked better than dirt prep. But we run a lot of mile turf races at Belmont. We can move on from this.
All right. Well, for this group, I mean, there's a lot of decisions to make, including those Europeans. But there's also La Sardin for Neil Drysdale.
I made a decision about her. Put a big X through her.
There you go. Then there's Oscar Performance coming off of
Worry about what happened last time, but
right.
If he runs back to his race in the poker, he's going to probably win here. He's a horse to beat to me. And Delta Prince is fine. He can win, too.
Jimmy's done a nice job with Delta Prince.
Seems like a tough horse to keep on the track. But yeah. No, it's a good race. I agree. I like Woodbine.
You went up there, didn't you? You with the Jockey Club
Fox
broadcast. Yes.
Yeah, we covered this race 2 years ago.
Yes.
There were Mondi Elise won.
Yes,
I interviewed David
right.
O'Meara. Probably a highlight for him.
No, absolutely. He talks about that. He talked about that in the Racing Post the
constantly,
other day.
Yeah.
In fact, he told Nick Luck, why can't you be more like Andy Serling?
Probably not. Anyway.
Since we went in this direction, and because it does give people a leg up on the cross-country pick four, what about the Canadian?
As I said, inflexibility looks about 3-5 in there. New Money Honey will be the second choice, and everybody else is a long shot. And I'd probably single inflexibility, maybe make some small backups using New Money Honey, but flexibility is pretty good this year.
Last seen in the Bev D, behind Sister Charlie. Hasn't won since April, though. That's the one.
Well, I think she runs her race if she ran at Woodbine back in June.
Right.
She'll bury this field.
Yep.
Let's see. She hasn't won since April. She finished second to a Raving Beauty. She finished second to Santa Monica at 1.25 miles up at Woodbine, by the way. Not 1.125 miles, which this race is. She's pretty tough on paper, Steve.
Oh, I don't disagree. I just maybe if she didn't run into so many stablemates, but those are all good spots. I mean, what can you? Those are progressive spots. And,
Steve,
and there's still plenty.
Let's not handicap on air. Let's move on.
All right. Well, and then let's go to New York, and why not? Sands
Only
Point,
if you
thoughts.
Promise not to handicap on air.
All right.
Either you defer, either you've looked at the races, or you defer to somebody who has.
No, I'm looking at them in my lap. I mean, that's.
I know you are. I know you are. That's called handicapping on the air.
It's my show, right. So I'll do what I want.
That was good. That was very good. That's
thank
best
you.
Comeback ever to me.
on Thursday at you like that?
I deserve that. That was good. I like that.
On Thursday at Parting Glass, you can tell me what to do.
I like that. The new Steve Vick.
Tougher than ever, which would be for the first time ever.
Really, you'd be very proud of that.
It's very, you have no idea.
Yeah, probably right. All right. So the eighth race, well, I mean, it does sort of feel like Arch of Troy, maybe Enthusiastic Gal, and a little canny 4.75 are supposed to kind of get it done here, right? I don't really like Blue Atlas in 1.16. I guess she's not totally impossible. Not the most compelling of races. It's the weak link of the sequence. Honestly, I think the Sands Point, to tell you the truth, I wouldn't tell anybody that any horse can't win this race. I literally think they all can win.
And it's the anchor leg, so depending
on... No, it's a super, super tough race. I'll tell you something. I don't know how good the Europeans are. You know, and Barca will probably be favored, and maybe she should be, but I mean, she finished behind Capla Temperis in the French Guineas, and I don't think either ran that much better than the other one. I don't know how good that race was. to be honest. Shadon is the speed. I don't know if she's really that good a horse. Both Bakar and Shadon are now in Chad Brown's barn, and they both get Lasix. I actually think Victorine, the other French horse, might be a little more interesting because she's kind of a horse that's been brought along slowly. She didn't really finish that well at a mile and a quarter last time at Deauville. But that guy's, you know, that guy's only shipped one horse up here in the last 5 years. The trainer finished second, the E.P. Taylor, at almost 8-1. That horse could be a little interesting. I mean, Reverse the Decision has to improve to win it, but it doesn't improve that much, and she's lightly raced. I'm not sure what to do with the two out of the Del Mar Oaks, Colonia and California Gold Rush. I mean, Colonia was good in beating Cool Beans, who came back to win the Risk Averse, and she's a nice horse. You know, you could argue that she kind of she just took herself out of the race or whatever early last time. She broke a little slow and then dropped way back. But I didn't really love the finish she made. I mean, Joel saved ground. I don't know how good she really is. You know, Secret Message is, you know, similar connections, and, you know, Sol's involved with both those horses. She was impressive last time, but where did that race come from? You know, prior races really aren't any good, right? And California Gold Rush, believe it or not, her last race, Del Mar Oaks, I thought she actually ran very, very well. Mm-hmm. She was 3-4 wide the whole way around the track. She was never really in good position. She never really stopped running in there. Where'd that race come from, right? She hadn't run in, what, 6 months, 6.5 yep. months? He steps up in the big race, and he was right to run her. I tell you something, she's very dangerous in here, California Gold Rush. It's a super, super competitive race. It's a really, really good race, actually. I'll tell you the horse I would bet against in here. And not because she can't win. She can win. Is Capla Temptress, because she could end up being the favorite. And I don't understand the appeal of her. I feel like she was second last time, A, because the turf was soft. And it's supposed to, you know, it's not going to rain anymore, and it's supposed to get nice tomorrow. So the turf will dry out a bit, and it won't be anywhere near as much give as there was. It'll be good to firm, you know, by Saturday, I would guess. And it won't be anywhere near as soft as it was in Saratoga. I think the course last time, and I also think it's like nobody ran last time. You know, a lot of horses just didn't show up. But I'm not saying she can't win. I've never been impressed with a single race she's run prior to last time. Which doesn't mean that maybe she's just coming into her own. And she did, like I said, finish ahead of Barca when they ran it, met at Longchamp in the French Guineas. It's a very, very interesting race. I don't really have much opinion other than I think it's wide open.
Now, the story for me, and we mentioned La Sardin competing in the Woodbine Mile. The Neil Drysdale Renaissance, to me, is one of the best stories of the last 18 months.
You say Renaissance, and listen, I can't really talk because I'm not in California, but I don't think, if you're saying he had a lull at some point and now his horse has been running better, I very seriously doubt Neil Drysdale forgot how to train.
Oh, no, I think it's a question of stock.
Of course, it's always a question of stock.
Yeah, I mean, that's
so
all.
So he's gotten some better horses.
Yep, and he knows how to place them.
He's trained a couple of good horses, right, AP and D?
Yeah, just a couple.
Fusiachi Pegasus.
He's also one of the great interviews there is in the game.
I don't know him at all.
Oh, he's Uncle Neil, as they call him.
I heard he's tough.
No, he doesn't. He fits into the
sounds like something
yes.
else I know. He must be great with you. You tell him it's your show when he comes on.
Drysdale reminds me of Tom Voss.
I did not know Tom Voss, unfortunately.
No,
sorry that I didn't.
Yeah, you'd have loved them, especially when you were smoking.
I'm sure I would have. I like most people at the racetrack.
Yes.
Which is against my better nature. Or my worst nature.
Since we've gone through three of the four races in the cross country, what about that eighth, the second leg, the 35 non-3 going a mile and a 1/16?
The one I talked about 5 minutes ago?
Well, you brushed over it, Arch of Troy, and who was the other one?
Why are we revisiting it?
Because not everybody.
I thought the winner before 7, the 5 had a chance. Your viewers heard it. Your listeners heard it. You were, I don't know, coming up with your next good line while I was talking about it.
Well, no, I just wanted to, because not everybody may have been in the mental frame of mind that we were going to go through the four races, but we did. So it was
valuable. You can listen to the replay at stevebick.com.
That's true. Other than that,
What?
What else you got?
I read a couple good books since I got back.
Nice.
Yeah. I read a new Gary Steingart book, Late Success. I love that. A really good book about baseball called The Shift. It's about sabermetrics and the human element and different things like that. Highly recommend it. I got lots of books. We could talk about books forever.
And movies.
I think all of your listeners should read Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman.
All right.
It's big, but it's worth it. Well, I think it will improve everybody as a horse player and as a person.
You know, speaking of that, speaking of reading things to improve as a horse player, I've gone back and I want to reread, after a couple of specific frustrations, Barry Meadows' small, you know, pamphlet style, Money Secrets at the Racetrack. And I haven't looked at it in ages. And I just the other night, I sat down and went back to it.
I have a book that people should read that's tangentially related to horse racing. It's called Seeing is Forgetting the Name of What One Has Seen. It's a biography of the artist Robert Irwin.
Oh,
You know people who know him, right? Because he would go to the track in California.
Yes.
He's up there.
You've talked about him before, Andy, with us.
It's a great book. Fun, really interesting book about him and his life, but a lot of it about him being a horse player. And he's clearly a guy who, way, way back in like the 50s, sort of very cleverly understood things. I think a lot of us, you know, a lot of people took a long time to getting to, I should say, you know, before there was a lot of the same kind of information out there. Great book. I think it's Seeing is Forgetting the Name of What One Has Seen.
And it,
biography of Robert Irwin. Go to Amazon. Look it up.
It's been around a long time, that book.
Well, yeah, I know. I read it. Shoot, I don't know. My friend like gave it to me, I think, like 20, 25 years ago.
There you go.
It's great. It's great. I gave it to a bunch of people I work with, actually. I think I gave it to Dan and stuff. And they all liked it. I mean, a friend of mine gave it to me, and he said, just trust me on it. And it took a while until it got into horse racing. And the horse racing stuff is fascinating. But the stuff about him is fascinating as well.
Well, a lot of the best books, that have a racing undertone, that fit that profile, right? That aren't about racing.
Well, I think in general, you know, being thoughtful, right? I mean, learning how to think. I know that sounds funny, but the better you improve your thinking, the better you're going to be as a horse player, in theory, right? The more introspective you become, the more you know, because a lot of the mistakes that we make are personal mistakes, right? Not paying as much attention as we should have, or not betting properly. It's, you know, you can continue to ask yourself those questions. You know, it's like those questions about, you bake them, break everything down to a coin flip. If I'm giving you 6-5 on a coin flip, you know, are you going to, you know, things like that, but extend it to the notion that suppose you have a horse that's 20-1 and you can play it over an exactas over the even money favorite and the 3-1 second choice. And with the even money favorite second, you know, the horse, a $40 horse, the exactas paying $110. And with the 3-1 shot second, it's paying, I'm just throwing them out there, $200 or something. You can Dutch the bets. Obviously, you don't bet the same amount each one. You know, you got $30. Would you bet the $30 on the on the horse to win, or I'm just trying to think for a second. Yeah, 30 to win, it's 20-1, right? So $600. Or would you bet a $20 exacta and a $10 exacta, where you'd win $1,000 effectively if either the one or the other two win? You know, which would you do? Now, the smart horse player is going to bet the two exactas. Obviously has to be willing to accept the pain if they don't run second, and that's the question that people don't want. Mathematically, you're supposed to bet the two exactas, and it's not even close, and I'm sort of throwing out random numbers there. And you just sort of ask yourself questions like that, right? Those are the things that will come up in different books you read, like Thinking Fast and Slow. which is the difference between making split-second decisions and actually thinking about the decisions you make.
So thinking fast and slow.
I highly recommend thinking fast and slow to everybody.
And seeing is forgetting.
Can't think of a better book for people to read.
Seeing is forgetting the name of the thing one sees.
I think it's seeing is forgetting. Yeah, I think it's
the name of the. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it.
You are.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's actually an expanded edition too, and it was published in 1982.
The scene. Yeah. The Irwin thing. Yeah, it's over 30 years old. Yeah. It's not surprising. Yeah. Well, he's got to be in his 90s. I think that Andy wrote a story about him, Beyer, years ago. I think he did. I'm not sure, but I think he did. Who's your final guest in the show?
Probably Tony Black. We'll probably circle back to Tony.
Really?
It's been an unusual show because we did kind of I got the two small trainers, small outfit trainers that won yesterday at Kentucky Downs, Judd Becker and Floyd Cobb, who's a lot of fun, and Kathleen O'Connell, who won her 2,000th race yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. That's great. She's a terrific trainer.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Nice to... I mean, she's been training for a long time, right?
Long time. Started 81.
I mean, when I went to Florida, when I first started going full-time in the mid-90s.
Yes.
She's a force. Yeah,
very
he's
much.
Really good. It's a very good trainer.
I mean, think about you when you think about 2,000 wins and her first decade in the 80s. She was only winning a handful of races a year. It really started in 91 for her, and 100 races a year. I mean, think about that.
A lot.
It's tremendous. It's ridiculous.
Right. Here's a question for you: What trainer with over 3,000 wins has the highest win percentage?
With over 3,000 wins. Wow. Steve Asmussen?
Really think that?
I don't know. That's the first name that popped in my head.
Incorrect.
With 3,000 wins.
I can't give you a hint. Because I can't give you a hint without giving it away.
All right. Well...
Want me to just tell you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you a hint that'll give it away. When I told him, even he was surprised.
Well, that sounds like Bill Mott.
Tom Amos.
Oh, you told me this during the summer. You mentioned that. That's amazing. Yeah.
I think it's 26. You wouldn't know from his performance in Saratoga annually. I got to take some shot at Tom.
That was good. Better him than me.
Tom's got a good horse in the Iroquois at Churchill on Saturday through the rail. He's lucky. Through the rail. She's pretty good.
Well, in fact, I haven't even had a chance yet to talk about the draws for the other things going on Saturday. But the Pocahontas is the race in question, and Serengeti Empress comes back there. Big full field of 12.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel. I had the hand. Give me 1 second. I'll bring up the PPs. I was texting with Tom about it a little bit yesterday. I know there's people out there that think Tom and I don't get along. They would be incorrect. Tom is one of my true favorite people in horse racing. And not just horse racing. It's great. He really is a good guy. Very smart.
This is a nice eclectic race, actually, that came here.
Well, there's nobody in. There's not really any significant contenders. I mean, Love My Honey is a little interesting. The horse of Broker Maiden, highly touted, first time out in Saratoga. They scratched out a spin away when she drew post 12. Kind of regretted it afterwards.
Yeah.
And then there's a Doug O'Neill horse that just broke its maiden with a nice figure at Del Mar. The rest of them
right.
Pretty slow. It doesn't mean anybody's going to step. Somebody's not going to step up, but everybody else seems like they're, pretty far out there. Right? I mean, Kieran's horse is a little interesting. It just hit the wire. The horse that was DQ'd, one, the horse that it got put up, 2 Dozen Roses, is inside of her. Because what's interesting about that horse, it just hit the wire, now that I look at it, is she's really bred to go long. You know, she's going to have to CJ's awesome. And the fact that she won first time out and wasn't bet, it's probably a good indication about her. She's a $400,000 two-year-old. I hadn't even noticed she was in there. She's actually kind of dangerous.
Well, and I think you got to be a little cautious, and we've had this discussion. You got to be a little cautious with those Ellis type horses that, you know, that the figures.
Yeah, but I'll
seem...
tell you something. You're talking about Tom's horse, Serengeti Empress. I hear you, and obviously, you know, that was an odd, and I don't know if it was a big bias or something. I never looked it up, and it did, you know, it came a very fast race. I get it. Let me just think about.
I mean, in the other direction. I mean that those numbers at Ellis have been just look at what's gone on. In fact, at Kentucky Downs, they come out of Ellis.
Well, you can't really compare that.
I know you can.
I would say the thing I like about Serengeti Empress is I actually think she ran fine in Saratoga when she ran the Schuylerville, and that was just 16 days after breaking her maiden, and then she got a month off, and then she got 30 days until the race at Ellis, and now she's got another 427 days. So maybe, you know, she came back a little quickly from her maiden win. I was impressed with her maiden win. I know she beat nobody, but boy, did she do it easily. I mean, listen, I'm rooting for her. I'd love to see Tom have a really nice horse. I mean, Tom really is terrific, and I'd love to see him. I mean, he obviously wins a lot of races. He's got 95 wins already this year, but I mean, you'd like to see him with a horse in a big race, and you know, so I'm rooting for her, but she's clearly the horse to beat this race. I don't care how you cut it. And when you have the horse who might be the fastest horse in the race and they draw the rail at a mile and a 16th in a big field, that's pretty good too.
Yeah, and she'll be forward.
Well, she's supposed to be really up front. I mean, she's fast.
It's nice to see. You mentioned Love My Honey. It's funny how Maker struggled all on the turf during Saratoga uncharacteristically, and then exploded at Kentucky Downs.
Yeah, a little random.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Yesterday with that Cullum Road in the dirt.
Oh, ran great. Ran great.
Yeah, I bet him actually.
Ran great.
Yeah, it was a big price.
I see that you put up, and I got taken down in that nightcap.
Sorry.
Yeah, the pick four. I
don't understand why the horse that got put up was 9-1 and not 5-2. I'm completely surprised by what the betting in there.
And that happens there, though. I mean, the horses.
Not really. There weren't too many horses to bet in that race, Steve. I don't know why a horse that's two dirt turf races were 81 buyers, one with Chad Brown and one after the horse was bought from Chad Brown. So. It's not as if the horse didn't run well. And that horse was the favorite. A lot of people won't remember this, but was the favorite in the opening leg of the Rainbow Six giveaway and had the lead until late, and that horse came up the rail at a huge price to win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then they ran it back foolishly in the dirt on Ellis. But so what? I don't know. I may have paid attention to that race.
Right.
Anyway, Tony Black's not going to have much time left.
That's all right. We're just going to say a quick hello to Tony.
Really?
Yeah. I had a... This has been a full show, believe me, and it includes this legendary visit by you on a Thursday.
I know. It's been very few Thursday visits by me, by design.
Well, you may see me tomorrow, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'm going to. I want to see that. I love that little filly that we're debuting tomorrow.
Wow, that's exciting.
I've got a crazy weekend. Belmont on Friday, and then Suffolk on Sunday.
Okay. I know they were running. I was just there.
That you, well, only Saturday
Boston
and Sunday,
and Tuesday,
though.
Barely in Boston.
Came and went.
I was at Trackus. I was spending some quality time at Trackus.
Is there fresh life being breathed into the Trackus plans?
I can't reveal.
Oh, all right.
What I was doing. This is a double secret project.
All right. We will wait for that other shoe to drop.
Bated breath.
Very much. Andy Serling, right. Everybody. Racing resumes tomorrow, and be sure to take in. They'll be showing you the races from Woodbine as part of Belmont Live on Fox and MSG and, what is it, Avalanche or Altitude? Altitude, I think, out in the mountains. Take a break last of the morning. After that raucous visit, and we'll get Tony. He's on the road. He's bouncing around. We'll wrap up the morning with Tony Black.
the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade II $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Masters hats for the first 1,000 fans. Free t-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back about 10, 12 minutes to fill out what's been a fun and pretty eclectic Thursday get-together, and Tony Black's going to join us. And for those that we heard us talk there at the end about the Pocahontas and the Iroquois, you've also got the Locust Grove and the Open Mind and a couple of good maiden races, more than just a couple. There's early on, there's older horses and then two-year-olds, the third and the fourth is a very good card. At Churchill on Saturday, and they start back, of course, tomorrow. We'll talk to Marty McGee, and since we're in the region, Indiana yesterday, you had those four Indiana-bred stakes. Revenant won for Michael Tomlinson, won the Brickyard, and you had Discreet Beauty, Gennaro Garcia sent out Discreet Beauty, a Discreetly Mine filly for owner Bruce Murphy, who bred the filly. I should mention owner Judy Mihalik owns Revenant One. The other two stakes, you had the Maryville Hey Little Bit at a big price, actually, and that was Barbara McBride for Robert Hayden with the Article of Faith mare. Six-year-old, and the other two-year-old race, the Hillsdale Ace of Aces, an unbridled express colt that was bred by the owners, homebred of LTB and Hillerich Racing. Bernie Flint said, I saw that race, actually, and Alex Kenchari was very pleased and that Bernie gave him the call on that two-year-old. So those were the stakes yesterday at Indiana, in addition to what went on at Kentucky Downs. Tony Black, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Steve. I'll tell you what, the more names you mention, the more it brings back memories. Bernie Flint, the name of a race, the Pocahontas. If I remember correctly, I rode the Pocahontas many, many moons ago. I think it was for a horse for Hassan and called Dancing Blade. Not sure of that. But I think it was run on Thanksgiving Day, to be thinking back to that era. And I went to Churchill to ride, and it was a rainy, sloppy racetrack that day, and I happened to ride this horse for Hot Simmons, I believe. I went to go ride some other horses and won it. And then when you were mentioning the Pocahontas a couple days ago, more than a couple days ago, a friend of mine, Alexis Hardhill, called me and said she was going to run a horse in the Pocahontas, and that's why the Pocahontas, the name of the race, brought back so many memories. It was a few days ago when she called me, and I said, oh, man, Alexis. And I was very good friends with her father, the late Alec Hardhill. But Alexis, we've stayed in contact. In fact, she even used to come visit my first wife and me at the farm and stay with us on occasion. Because her dad, you know, we were really pretty good friends. And I was honored to be a friend of her dad's. I felt honored to be a friend of his. But I hope if she went in there, which I didn't check, I assume she's in there, I hope she wins it because she has me rooting for her.
Well, and she is in it with Include Edition with Vicky Foley, and was a first out winner. And it's funny you bring this horse up because I had noticed when the horse won that Doc Hardhill's daughter involved there. That's pretty funny. And here it is, Include Edition. This is an Include that was bred by Upsom Down Farm and was a first out winner, then tried the Ellis Park debutante, was second only because the Tom Amos filly ran off and won by a dozen lengths. So Include Edition, absolutely. Stakes placed, and she's going to be a big price in here. But that's so funny. And you mentioned the Pocahontas, which you won for Haas Inman on Dancing Blade.
My memory has been totally destroyed by concussions, and I was right. It was Dancing Blade, and it was Haas Inman. Now, that was a few years ago, and I believe it was run in November on Thanksgiving Day. Is that correct?
It was run on November 22nd, so
Thanksgiving
it, late
whatever.
Enough.
And I wound up, I think, pulling up. She fell on her head in a slop and got loose, and they had to catch her so I could get my picture taken after I walked back to the winner's circle,
That's great.
I remember. So, you know, when people mention the names of horses, and or people just mention the names of trainers, so many memories flood back into this head of mine. You know, even when you were mentioning Bernie Flint, I'm thinking, boy, I remember Bernie Flint when he used to tell stories about being a police officer in Louisiana, if I remember correctly.
New Orleans.
And his stories, you know, I rode for him. He was a trainer. His stories were as good as his horses. I used to have a ball. We used to have a ball him telling us these stories. And I'm thinking, boy, you know what? You should write a book. And here he is still training horses. So which it means he's a horse trainer a lot longer than he was a New Orleans police officer. But boy, the more names you mention. Yeah, I had such an interesting show today. I was so happy to hear you talk about Kentucky Downs. And you know how people are very interested in seeing the horses run at a grass meet like that. And, you know, Just an interesting show, as you usually have. And just to close a show like that, it's an honor to be on with you, Steve, my man.
Oh, I wanted to get you in because there were a couple of things that's funny. I mean, you brought up a couple of things that were out apart from even what I was going to bring up. But the the riders that were involved in those two wins that we discussed today and the two trainers that I had visit, just so different when it came to Judd Becker and Floyd Cobb. I thought it was really kind of special. And the kid that rode for Floyd Cobb in particular is a kid that's kicked around and back and forth from Puerto Rico, and he really hasn't stayed in any one place seemingly long enough to really establish himself, but it seems like he can ride. But a lot of times he'd go back to ride at Camarero, and then come back and he's ridden at Presque and at Indiana and kind of Prairie Meadows. It feels like one of these kids that that if he stuck in a certain into a certain circuit and marketplace, he could really might find himself catching a wave, getting into a regular beat with certain outfits,
Absolutely. I just had this discussion with someone that just came back to Parks, and he's a really competent young rider, and he's bounced around and he's done this, and I keep telling these kids that do this, you shoot yourself in the foot. Get established at one place first. Win a lot of races. Let people see your name in the winner's circle, and your name on the program, and do it for a period of time, that says, I'm established as a journeyman rider. I just had this discussion with Eric Lopez. He's a competent rider. He's bounced around from California to the Midwest to Jersey to Parks. I said, there, do yourself a favor. You're back here. Get an agent that's working for you. Stay. And plan on staying where people know you're not going to win a few races and pack up and go someplace else. It's too easy to do that, but all you do is flit around and never establish yourself at one place. Establish yourself at one place. When the time arises, somewhere in the future after you are well established, then move if you want to take and venture to another racing establishment that maybe you feel is a step up as being a jockey. You want to go from Parks and then you want to go to Maryland eventually, or you want to go to New York, then do that. But make sure you're well established and you have a base of operation that people see at that one racetrack. And you know what? That doesn't happen in 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months. You got to be there a couple years. Be there a couple years. Be on the standings a couple years. Show people you know how to cross your reins and get these horses home. Don't bounce around. You're shooting yourself in the foot. So you're right on. There's many a rider that do that. And, the downside of staying at one place is sometimes you get taken for granted and you stay there too long. But not after just a couple years, maybe you're there. Maybe then you'll see the opportunity. Oh, geez, I'm riding for this guy. He has a lot of horses in New York. Every time he ships here, he puts me on a horse. Well, then if you see the opportunity to move to New York or to move to Maryland or to move someplace, then do it. But don't flit around. It doesn't work.
Tony, that's what you did. You stayed in one marketplace and made
probably
yourself...
Probably too long. Probably too long.
You overstayed. You're in the overstayed the category. You think
maybe overstayed my welcome, but I didn't take a hint. But I had opportunities to ride for other people. I know you're running out of time, and you let me once again get on my podium and my soapbox and make
good
these
job.
Speeches. And I love it, Steve. That's why I love coming on the air with you. And I just got to say one thing real quick.
Yeah.
Guadalupe Preciado saw me when I was coming back on a horse today. He said, I don't hear you on the radio. I said, Lupe, you hear me today. I'm going to tell everybody, I love you, Lupe, and it's not because you made me a lot of money. It's just because I love you. I hope you're listening now, Lupe.
too great. Well, Tony, we'll talk Thursday. We'll have the fields for the Cotillion and for the Pennsylvania Derby, and I will see you a week from Saturday at Parks.
You'll see me, and let's root for Alexis to get the job done.
I love it. And on the, a race that Tony won with Dancing Blade, and it came actually in a nice sequence of races with Tony. The Schuylkill, and then the Pocahontas, and then the Villager.
And Hossimans used to have some fur over coats that they should be in a museum themselves.
The great Tony Black, everybody. What a fun 3 hours. Good luck if you're playing today. Kentucky Downs, obviously the biggest opportunity. I want to thank Jessica Martini, Kathleen O'Connell, Floyd Cobb, Judd Becker, and Andrew Hawkins. We started talking, feels like 7 hours ago, going over the action at Shot 10 Saturday. Have a great day, everybody, and we'll do the weekend preview with you tomorrow. Marty McGee and so much more. Los Al as well, and Woodbine, plenty of Woodbine discussion. We'll reach up north of the border. If you missed anything, replay 6 to 9 here on Sirius XM. HRRN coverage later this afternoon, 3 o'clock. And we'll talk to you in the morning at the races. Sirius XM, thanks, everybody.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade II $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Masters hats for the first 1,000 fans. Free t-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.